Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Well, good evening. It is Wednesday, as you guys all know, May 18th, 2022. This is Tiffany with Redneck and I's Radio and Women of Redneck and I's. On tonight's show, I'm hoping you guys can all hear me. I know last week we had a little bit of issues with the mic, but on this week's show, we're actually going to be talking a little bit about the roadside safety checks, the blitz that they're doing and what they're checking for and what you guys have seen. You know, as most of you know, I am at home 90% of the time. So I'm not out on the road like the rest of you. I kind of take care of the things here at the house, whether it's with our, you know, with Redneck and I's or with Greg and I with the truck and, you know, everything else. So tonight, you know, I want to talk to you guys about, like I said, Safety Week, the Blitz. You know, I do have a couple things that I want to go over. And another one of our members of Redneck and I's, Donnie, I got a thing off of him about what their company sends out, you know, what they're checking and stuff like that. And we know the Blitz, yeah, granted, they say May 17th through the 19th, but we all know they start just the week prior and just the week after, over the weekends, and maybe not so much the weekends, but they're checking, you know, they check a little bit harder then. Now, we do know when they do this check, you know, they do their normal thing when it comes to, you know, it's always. Okay, I take that back. I don't want to say always, but 90% of the time, it has to do with the brakes, your wheels, rims, hubs, tires, you know, that type of stuff that they're mostly checking. Now, I have a list of things that, excuse me, that they're saying that they check for, but, you know, they're going to check everything, anything they can find. It's not a one scenario thing that they're doing just this or just that. No, they're not. This gives them ample opportunity, not like they need, you know, an invitation to pull you over, because they'll do that whether you want them to or not. But, you know, if you're one of those, if you drive for one of those companies that if you get pulled over and you get a good level one, two, three, you know, you're going to get paid for it. If you fail it, you know, they might deduct money off of you. So let's hope that's the latter part of that you always pass, because we always want to pass them. We always want that free money. But what I'm going to read you is, like I said, this is something that Donnie sent to me that his company sent to them to keep an eye out for, because most everybody with his company is nothing but owner-operators. So it states, this year's international road check will focus on wheel ends, which include the wheels, rims, hubs, tires on a commercial motor vehicle. Violations involving those components historically account for about one quarter of the vehicle out-of-service violations discovered during international road check. And the past international road check data routinely found wheel end components in the top 10 of vehicle violations. Wheel end components support the heavy loads carried by commercial motor vehicles, maintain stability and control, and are critical for braking, keeping the vehicle safely on the road. Failure of these components may lead to a catastrophic crash. Right? It is crucial for commercial motor vehicle drivers to check wheel end components during pre- and post-trip inspections. The driver's observation during the inspections are the first steps in detecting a wheel end or wheel bearing problem. In addition, identifying wheel end problems before they cause downtime may save drivers and motor carriers from expensive emergency roadside towing and repairs. I'm sorry, guys. My sinuses are draining today bad. Okay. During international road check, inspectors will primarily conduct a North American Standard Level 1 inspection, a 37-step procedure that includes an examination of the driver's operating requirements and vehicle mechanical fitness. Now, the operating requirements, we all know that's your, you know, logbook, your license, insurance, you know, permit book, that type of stuff. Oh, I swear I took sinus meds today, but just not working. Okay, A 37-step procedure. Okay. I'm sorry, I lost my focus here. Steps 15 and 18 focus specifically on wheels, rims, hubs of a commercial motor vehicle. On the right, which I'm going to read these to you too, we've outlined what inspectors will be looking for during the wheel ends portion of the level one inspection. To make sure you're proactively check these components during your routine pre- and post-trip inspections. Drivers may also find abnormal or uneven tire wear, see or smell smoking, or extremely hot hubcaps, too hot to the touch. Because you know if you touch those, your hubs on your wheels, they are going to be warm, especially on your drives. You know, and yeah, they're going to be warm on your trailer too, but your hubs on your drives are going to be a little bit warmer, maybe, depending, because that is, you know, but anyways, I'm not a mechanic, so I'm just going off what I always have been told in the past. So you know those are going to be a little bit warmer, especially if you just had a wheel seal that you had to replace because, you know, your bearings, you may have gotten them too tight. If you get them too tight, yeah, that could be a problem too. If you get them too loose, we know that's definitely a no-no. You never want them too loose. Okay, hot to the touch, or notice smoke from a wheel and or feel wheel vibration, wobble, or noise. Increased stopping distance or decreased braking power, abnormal side pull when braking, wheel lockup, or skidding are all signs that your wheel ends may need maintenance or replaced. And I hope, I mean, most everybody, I say this loosely, most all drivers know how to detect if they have a wheel seal leaking. And, you know, that's on the inside of your wheels. You're going to see a little bit of oil running down. Sometimes you don't notice it. Sometimes it might be, you might see it on the outside, but 9 times out of 10, it's underneath. And unless you were really, really looking, you might never even notice it. Or it might have been leaking for a while and you never noticed it because of the fact it wasn't running down the wheel yet. It could have been on your drums, on your linings. So you always want to really check that stuff or have the shop do it for you. Okay, during the inspection of the wheel ends on a commercial motor vehicle, inspectors will be looking for, here's all the things, check for cracks or unseated locking rings, studs, or clamps, check for bent, cracked, or broken rims on the inside and outside wheel rims, check for loose, broken, missing, or damaged wheel fasteners or elongated stud holes, check spoke wheels for cracks across spokes and in the web area or slippage in the clamp area. Check the hub for lubricant leaks, missing caps or plugs. Yeah, remember, those valve cap covers, they're like $100 a piece for missing one if they really want to push the issue. So you always want to make sure your valve stems caps are still there. Okay, check the inner wheel seal for leaks like we just talked about. Check the tire and valve stem for leaks. And the best way to do that, sometimes you may have a tire that's starting to go a little low and you haven't noticed anything. The first thing you want to check is your valve stem. And that's a little bit of soapy water. Or if you don't have soapy water in the truck, use a bottle of Windex, spray it, because Windex has just enough that's going to make it bubble. Okay, check for proper inflation, cuts, and bulges on the tires, including the inside tire of a dual set. Check for regrooved tires on steering axle. Okay, now remember, you can have regrooved tires anywhere else on your unit, just not on the steer. Now, a question to you guys, I want to see what you guys know, okay? Can you have recapped tires on the steer axle? Or can you have regrooved tires on the steer axle? It's a good question to think about. Okay. Check tread wear and measure major tread groove depth. Inspect the sidewall for improper repairs such as tire plugs. Check for exposed fabric or cord. Especially if you, you know, hit those brakes a little too hard and, you know, slide them. You may have some cords showing, so you got to keep an eye on that. Check for tire contact with any part of the vehicle. Hey, you could have a shock or a spring broke that you don't realize and, you know, an airbag that's bad and you're starting to rub or, you know, something's not in line very well. Check for markings on the tire that would exclude its use on a steering axle. Check for debris between your tires. And I know at my dad's lot, some of you guys have seen it, there is some bigger stones there. When we first put those down, because we used larger gravel because, you know, you park as many trucks as we do on our lot, you actually need a little heavier for a better base. There has been times that there's been some of those bigger rocks that get stuck between the drives, you know, or the duals, just period. And we got to watch that, especially right after we put it down. Right now, we're good because it's packed in pretty good. Okay, and the last one here says check for tires touching one another or any other part of the vehicle. Kind of goes over the same part where it says check for tire contact with any part of the vehicle. Double dipping there, kind of saying it twice. So that's kind of one of the questions I got for you guys is, can you have regrooved or recapped tires on the front, on the steer? And another part of that question I just want to go to before I pick up our caller here is, would you want to run a regrooved or a recapped tire on the steer? Would you want to run recapped tires, period, on your unit? And we know if we ask one of our members, Robbie, or even Greg, we all know what they will say about recapped tires. Okay, we are bringing on our caller, which I believe this may be Miss Holly.
You got it. Here.
I thought so. How you doing, Holly?
I'm all right. Living the dream. Through safety week.
Yeah, there you go. Have you seen a lot of stuff out there?
I left Denver Tuesday morning. Lyman was closed. Lamar was closed. But Oklahoma was open in Boise City, and they blessed me with my very first, in 13 years, level one inspection, and I got a sticker. I've never had a sticker before.
Wow, there you go. Now, will LTR give you money
years,
or give you? That's good, though.
Yeah, they'll pay me for it. I don't know what it is, but, yeah. I mean, I've been out here, OTR, 13 years, and I think I have been inspected maybe four times.
Huh.
And yesterday? Makes it five? Yeah. Guy asked me, and he's like, you know, I'm going to do a level one. I'm like, okay. He's like, have you ever had one? I'm like, no.
Yep.
And he looked at me like, what are you, crazy? And he went through everything.
Well, that's good. And that's what they should do every time because you never know.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not be something with your truck. It might be something with the paperwork on the truck that's screwed up. Especially being a company driver, you know, you just know what they give you.
Right, right. And I'm not a mechanic, so therefore,
yep.
You know, I don't know how to, I mean, I know how to, but I'm not adjusting the brakes, no, because I'm not a mechanic,
right.
And if something happens, then I'm not certified for that. So therefore, I'm not doing it. So I have to trust and believe that my shop is going to send my trailer out, because I don't pull the same one all the time, with everything right.
Exactly.
Luckily, I got lucky. I mean, everything was spot on. And he measured all my brakes, pushed the brakes, you know, did the whole nine yards. He measured everything, trailer, truck. So checked all my lug nuts. So I guess, I don't know if it was concentrated on what they said, that, you know, wheel ends. I don't know the difference because I've never had a level one before. So it's just, they're doing their job.
And that's good. That's, I mean.
You know? And if you're running legal and you're running, you know, a decent truck and you're not, shit's not falling off of it going down the road, what do you have to worry about?
Yep.
You know, I'm not sweating it. I got my sticker.
And that actually,
I don't know what the two on it means, but I don't know what the number on the sticker means.
That I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why it's a two and why it's yellow. I've seen different colors, you know, but I have no idea what the two means. Like I said, I've never had one. Two, no. So no, but I'm running across 10 now coming out of Houston, and the two westbound scales that I just passed, they are working very hard. Very hard. There's probably 8 or 10 DOT officers and probably 6 or 8 trucks sitting with a,
wow.
with an officer in both of them. So in different places, they're working harder. I guess it depends on what highway you're on. I know 10 is tough, always has been. So we'll see. And I know on 10 going into that first rest area in Alabama, they like to sit in there. They stage that up as a inspection thing. So
well, it's
see
like
what happens
PA,
when I get there.
Yeah, but all PA's rest areas are considered way stations. So.
Are they, have they been open today?
I don't know because I haven't talked to anybody that's been up that way. Greg will be up in PA
right.
tomorrow. He's got to go up through there because he's going to Buffalo to deliver up there.
Right.
But, but yeah, tomorrow's, no, I take that back. He'll be up there on Friday because he's got to deliver Buffalo on Friday.
Right.
So, because he's down there, Racine right now, and he, like he said, he says he really hasn't seen a whole lot. Yeah, scales have been open
yeah,
here
generally,
and there.
Yeah, generally it hasn't been anything but a regular run. Like, I
yeah.
run 70 a lot, and most of them are, I mean, I know when they're open and when they're closed, but I haven't really seen anything out of the ordinary other than,
right.
you know, the hot spots that you already know about, I-10, Texas,
yeah.
Louisiana, Alabama, you know, but they're not out much on a normal, so yeah, they're going to take any advantage they can to, quote, have their blitz. But, you know, like I said, if you're running legal.
Yeah, exactly. If you're running legal, you don't got to worry about it.
Exactly.
And you see a lot of states that do most of their inspections, they do this blitz and they say they're going to do it these days. A lot of trucks won't run. I mean, Greg and my dad used to, every time during the blitz, they would take that week off. They would stay home. Eh, heck
mm-hmm.
with it. Because they were doing mostly back and forth to Chicago. Not that the trucks wouldn't pass. Just the fact they didn't want to have to deal
right.
with it. You know.
Well,
so.
And they've gotten wise to that, too. So they'll do surprise stuff like next week, last
oh, yeah.
week. Mm-hmm. Places that you haven't seen open in forever. All of a sudden you'll
mm-hmm.
go by and be like, oh, wow, they're open. They're doing. They're trying to
yeah,
catch you off guard.
Or there's that wide spot alongside the road, and all of a sudden you see two DOT sitting there waiting to grab you and pull you in.
Yep. With some portable scales.
Mm-hmm.
The weigh station's closed, but we're 5 miles down the road here in the pullout.
Yeah.
We'll get you.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Texas is big on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ohio is too, especially on some of the back roads, because a lot of the trucks will go down them just because they know they can get by.
Right. I mean, these guys aren't dumb.
No.
Just because they wear a different uniform during the day than we do, they're still out here doing a job. They're, you know, they think just like we do. They know.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, I think a lot of it is your attitude, too. If you go in there and you're going to be a complete idiot, they're going to treat you as such.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how a lot of people do. They get a little bit of, they get that attitude.
They get an attitude.
Especially if the cop comes up to him and says, hey, you know, we found this and this. Oh, no, you didn't. You did that on purpose.
Right.
And you know dang well that they're going to give you attitude. No, you're going to get it worse.
Yeah. I mean, they can wreck a day. No problem. Yeah, you can just sit here for 10 hours.
Yep.
We'll figure it out later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're nice to them and, you know, you're respectful. They'll give that back to you. But, you know, this guy that did my inspection, he was trying to open my hood. And I'm like, whoa, hold up. You got to take deer guard down before you try to open this hood. You're going to wreck my hood. So he let me get out of the truck and help him because I didn't want him. He's like, yeah, I'd rather you do it. I'm like, all right, cool. I'd rather do it. So I
exactly.
did it and opened the hood for him, got back in my truck and, you know, when he went to put it back together, I'm like, let me help you. He's like, no problem. And he didn't have his side hook correctly. So I'm glad I did get out and look, because that thing would have been laying down in about 3 miles, you know.
Right.
So, you know, usually you can't get out of the truck, or they prefer you not to get out of the truck, you know. But I'm like, yeah, let me help you there, because I want to make sure that that's not going to fall down. He's like, I appreciate that. You know, so, I mean, if you give them the respect, I'm like, can I get out of the truck and help you? You know, I'm not just getting out.
Yeah.
So, you know, you get back what you give out. So
exactly.
Just do your job, do it legal, and you don't have anything to worry about.
Yep.
That's all. If you're trying to get over on some shady stuff and you know your truck is shady, then maybe you should just take that energy and fix your truck.
Exactly.
You know, you're not only risking your life, there's other people out here too.
Right, and that's the way I look at it. You know, just like with our truck, I mean, we're adamant about making sure everything's together on the way it's supposed to be and everything, you know, works. And, you know, so it's constantly something. But that's with anybody that owns their truck. They're going to be putting money into it, because not only is it a safety violation if you do get caught with something bad, or a fact that, you know, you could go out there and something happen, but then you get the whole thing of cost factor. If it breaks down alongside the road, you knew something was wrong before you left. Well, you know what? Yeah, you're going to own up to that, and you're going to have to pay for it.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, I mean, I drive a company truck, but I treat it and take care of it as if it were my own.
Right.
Got an issue going on. It's either a thermostat or a clutch pan, and I made the appointment, so I know I'll be home. When my truck is in the shop, I'll be home. I'm not getting in another truck.
So did they
get
it?
I don't do that.
They didn't find out what was wrong with the truck. They kind of took it.
Oh, no. They took it to the – well, when I came back and it was missing, so
– yeah.
No, we went back the next day and got it, because they couldn't look at it till Tuesday. So we made an appointment when we were there for June 1st. And I have been monitoring and taking notes of what the temperatures are, what the conditions are when the temp, you know, when I'm reading the temps, when the fan kicks on, when it isn't. And I'll give them all that information, and they can look at that and know exactly what the truck is doing. And it's either, because the fan does kick on eventually, but it kicks on at odd times. Sometimes the temps will be low and the fan kicks on, but then the temps will be real high and the fan does not kick on. So that tells me there's a thermostat issue, most likely. It's either a thermostat, a sensor, or a clutch fan, but the clutch, it comes on. So it's not that. So it's probably either a sensor or a thermostat, because nothing is regular. It's sporadic.
So right.
As to when the fan comes on, temperature-wise, yeah. So I'm just keeping track of it, and I'll give them all the information when I take the truck in, and they can go from there. I don't think it'll be in there too long, because I'm trying to narrow it down as to what it's doing and when it's doing it and what the conditions are, so they can fix it. Like, you don't have to do all this research. Right here it is.
Right.
But that's just me. You know, I don't mind a couple of days off, but I don't need to be down for weeks.
Exactly.
So let me help you out. It's doing this when the temps say this, and, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. And, you know, it is good when you can go into the shop and give them everything and say, hey, you know, it has to be one of these three things, because it's doing this, this, and this. But when I'm pulling a hill, it's not doing this, this, and this.
Exactly. And that's what they have. Flat ground, hot, you know. So I'll just keep monitoring it, write it down, chart it for them, and then they can do all the head stuff with it, figure out what it is.
Right.
This is what your number, because they're never going to be able to recreate what I get on the road.
No.
You know, it's like a lot. Like, we have a shop, but, you know, when they take a truck to the outside, to an outside place, you know, our mechanic at our shop doesn't drive these trucks, so how is he going to take my truck to the shop, which is what he did, and explain to them what's going on when he's never driven the truck and hasn't asked me? How are they going to fix it?
Exactly. Right.
I'm thinking to myself, you didn't even ask me what it's doing. But yet you took it to the shop.
Right.
Oh, that's why I don't let anybody, I don't know how my truck ended up at the shop, because in all the years I've been at Load to Ride, nobody has ever taken my truck to the shop but me, because I'm the only one that can answer their questions.
Yeah, and that makes
sense.
That
was just a freak thing. Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of funny last week when, you know, you go to work and you're talking
to the thing. Right? And they, you know, and everybody pretended like there was no big deal. Like, wait, what? Okay. Yeah, talk about heart failure. Think your truck is stolen for even if just a moment. It's like, whew.
Exactly. Yeah, I can, and then
all the things that are in the truck run through your head. It's like, oh, my God, where is my truck? I mean, yeah, it's all replaceable stuff, but, wow, there's a lot of stuff in here.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
Yep. I hear you.
But when it comes to the safety week, I mean, we all know that they do it, but it is...
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that they don't need to go out and announce when they're doing it. Kind of like the DUI check stations when they go out and actually say, hey, we're doing one here at this time and this time, so don't go that way.
Like, right.
Why are you going to announce when you're doing the DUI check?
Even though they announce it, they still get people.
Yes.
Like, they told you where they were going to be, and you still tried. You pushed your limits.
Because there's, I mean, around here, mostly Youngstown, we see it more. But they do them up there, and they put on their, and the bad thing is, it's on the news. They announce it on the, you know, the 6 o'clock news or 11 o'clock news.
Yep.
And they still get people, and it's like, really? You're announcing it, but you're still going to go drive right up in the middle of it and say, oh, they ain't going to get me. Three sheets to the wind, and you wonder why you get a ticket.
Let's just check it out. Yeah. Let's test that. So.
Crazy people.
I mean, if you're dumb enough to be drinking and driving, then you should be caught.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it. I mean, my license is my livelihood, whether it's my car or my truck. So,
yeah, because
I'm not doing anything to jeopardize that. Mm-hmm. It's all about choices.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And consequences that hold as an adult.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you the question that I proposed earlier. Is it legal to have recaps on the steer, or is it legal to have retread on the steer?
I'm not sure. I don't think it's recaps, but I don't let Load to Ride put anything but virgin steer tires on my truck. I will not drive a truck with recaps on it. Even my drive, they try to put recaps. No, not my truck. Mm-mm. We're running virgin tires on this truck. I have 185,000 miles on the virgin tires from this truck.
Right.
And the next set will be another set of virgin tires. Mm-mm. So, but I think, is it grooved?
Yeah, regrooved you're not allowed. You can't have on the steer. Recap, yes. You can run recaps on the steer. Would you want to?
You'd be a fool to run them. Exactly. Hell no.
But yeah, it is legal to run recaps on the steer, which... I always thought, you know, no, you don't do that. Because that's what I was not, you know, my dad always ran recaps, and he still does recaps. He wears them more on his trailer
than
he does on the, no.
Yeah,
I'm
I would
on
say
the,
on the, yeah.
On the trailer, he
does. I mean,
does.
I've run recaps on a trailer, sure.
Yeah. And, but it was always, you know, he always said, oh, yeah, you know you can, right? No, but my dad was always one of the ones, you know. We don't run them on the steer, period, because it's not safe. If they blow out, you know,
right.
A drive, okay.
Yeah, there's a better chance of them blowing out.
and taking the whole back of your trailer out.
And I've seen that.
Robbie can tell you all about that.
It takes that whole arm for the mud flap. That nice metal arm likes to bend it up into the trailer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, you know.
Well, if you have the air fill on your tires and they blow, it's even worse because of the air that's blowing into it all the time. So
right.
When they blow large and usually take out another tire.
Yeah, see, we have that.
You get all your damage.
Yeah, we have that air filtration, not filtration, but the automatic air system on.
Yeah,
on the trailer. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But okay, we have another caller coming on, and I know who this is. So here we go.
Yay!
He quote unquote is going to have something to say about recap. So we'll bring him on.
I was listening, and Greg, and
there he is,
big mouth, says something about recaps, and then I get my name thrown at it again on recaps.
Oh yeah.
You can run recaps. It's legal. Is it smart? No. The only mm-hmm. thing is illegal to run recaps on is a school bus.
Exactly.
Especially on the steers. I'm talking about steer tires. Now,
mm-hmm.
you can run recaps on your drives or your trailer if you want to, but in the end, it's going to cost you way more money.
Exactly.
And that's why I said you knew all about it.
Yeah. Well, that and steer recaps are getting to where they're about the same amount for a set of versions.
A new one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a version versus a recap. A brand new recap. It might be a Chinese tire, but it's going to still be about the same.
Yeah, I know Donnie was here yesterday, and he had gotten four brand new tires for, I think, the lead axle on his truck. Anyways, he went to Best One, which is up here in Girard, and he got them off of Vito. And Vito's worked for them for years. But they were Toyos, I think they were, like $400-some a piece. So it was like, you know, $1,300 or $1,400 something. No, $1,600-some.
The company he's leased to, they don't have National Tire account?
Actually, yes, they do. I don't think he used them, to be honest with you, because I don't know if he knew about it. I know about it because I was just talking about it.
Because the company I'm leased to, I called, it was a couple weeks ago, but maybe a week and a half, because I'm looking for a set of tires for my truck, which I'm going to have to go down a size, because I run 11 R's on my drives, and I can't find any. Nobody has any.
Yeah.
And I was talking on prices on how much I can, because I can't do all eight at once. Through Admiral because of price-wise. They have a cap on it, so which is fine, no big deal. But for a set of Bridgestones for $530 a piece, now granted this was a week and a half ago, versus a Chinese tire that might last a year. I've ran Chinese tires and they don't last very long.
Well,
like a soft rubber. I don't know. It's just what I've had an experience on tires on my truck.
Right. My dad, he does a lot of the Chinese-made ones. He likes those Wanlis.
He loves recaps. He changes the subject real quick when I tell him about recaps, my opinion on recaps.
He knows all of our opinion on recaps because we tell him about it all the time. But he was just telling Donnie that he needed to take some casings to Vito to have him recap because he needed some more. But he's been doing halfway decent with his recaps lately. But then again, you know, the truck and trailer has to move in order to blow a tire.
Oh, those brand new recaps that he just put on is doing a whole lot of good.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because he's still waiting on the rest of his parts to come for his truck. We've got all the parts, but the head's still at Boland's, the machine shop, getting done, and they're waiting on the valves for it because they're putting new valves in it, and they're on back order. I'm not sure when they're going to make it in.
Huh.
So it's, you know, a wait-and-see type of game. But have you seen a lot with the safety week blitz going on out there, Robbie?
Nope. I've been I ran up to Seattle, Washington for a buddy of mine and to get a 320 or 321 excavator. It's 56,000 pounds.
I've seen the picture on Facebook.
Washington, from Seattle, Washington, I'm about ready to pull on the Eli, Nevada. I've been pulled into one scale.
Huh.
And I got blown right through. No, nothing. They didn't want to see my permit.
Wow.
Give me green light, roll the scale, and get the heck out of here.
Well, that's good, I guess. You don't have to worry about nothing.
Yeah. I got one more state to worry about, Arizona. And I'm not worried. I'm not worried. There's a lot of guys out here that are always, it's a blitz. Well, if your truck was in order, everything was like it's supposed to be, your paperwork in order, truck in order, trailer in order, you should have no problem.
Exactly.
Yep.
Logbook in order, not stretching the truth with some
exactly.
people we know.
That is creative logging 101. We know a couple of people that can teach a class on that one.
He is very good at that.
Yes, he is.
That's
many years of practice.
Now. Last time I talked to him, he said he was dead.
What was that, Robbie?
Last I talked to him, it was a couple hours ago. He said he was going to go to bed. So.
Yeah, when I talked to him a little bit, he called me about 6:30, and he said, well, about 6 o'clock, and I was trying to get stuff done up for the show. He's like, well, I'm going to lay down and, you know, call me when you get done and make sure I'm up because nobody needs any more than 3 hours of sleep. And but you know how he is. He doesn't sleep much.
Now he's just trying to make a buck. No, or trying to make a penny now.
Yeah, right? It was definitely a big change from where he was to where he is.
Oh, that's like a – it was like a – for what he was telling me, it was like a slap in the face.
Oh, yeah.
For what he was making.
And now we're in the process of changing again.
Yeah, that's what he was saying.
Which, you know, he should never went where he did in the first place, but, you know. Sometimes you just can't make people listen.
At least you got a couple bucks in this last couple of weeks, I would say.
Yeah, I mean,
versus sitting at home and not making nothing.
Yeah, right. And driving his wife crazy.
Well, that's not my problem. See, you can kick me out, or I kick myself out of the house, so...
That's all right. So he's going to be, you know, he'll be delivering up there in Buffalo on Friday, and then he's coming home. And because this company, you know, it's just like crazy people. So.
That's broker freight for you.
Yeah. And that, I mean.
That's what I do too, so.
That's crazy, the price. I mean, some of the things for the broker freight was like, you know, wow. I just can't get over just how bad it is. But everybody I've talked to that does do it, that hauls a lot of broker freight, they've all been saying it's been, right now, it's been worse than what it has been in a while.
That's why I did this right now.
Huh. Yeah, because that was for a buddy of yours that you're running that for, correct?
Yep. I got him set up to where I can run everything through the company, so, which I'm his only customer, really.
Yeah.
There's snow on top of the mountains here.
Well, I can't. Supposed to snow at my house on Friday.
Well, it's supposed to be almost 90 at my house on Friday.
Oh, that's it's
like, are you kidding me?
Back at home.
Huh.
It's a dry heat, remember? Phoenix is a dry heat.
Yeah. Ours isn't going to be a dry heat. The humidity is supposed to be pretty high. So it's going to be miserable around here, but that's okay because I got AC and I don't got to leave the house.
That's the way I
look
at it.
Something to, you'll have to go somewhere. Guarantee it. Yeah. You'll have to do something.
Nope. I haven't left the house in 2 days. Well, I did leave the house yesterday. I had to take the dogs out and get their nails trimmed. But I did nothing but mow grass yesterday, tilled up the garden again yesterday, watered all my flowers. Today I was scrubbing carpets because it's been raining off and on all day. So I figured, well, I'm going to clean scrubbed carpets and get them scrubbed up. And, you know, I got 2-bedroom floors all mopped and shined today. So I was on a roll. And then Donnie came. And he kind of put a wrench in that, and he was here for 3 hours.
That's his second home.
I'm telling you, he got home on Monday, okay, mind you. He pulled in over at the lot. He sent me a message. He's like, you home? And I was like, yeah. Okay. He had to go pick his parts up for his AC because his AC went out. So he comes over here, and he's here until like 8:30 at night. He's like, well, I better head home now. And I was thinking, really? That sounds like a good idea. Because, you know, you've only been here since about 5 o'clock.
Oh, he was soaking up the AC is what he was doing.
And it wasn't even run because I haven't had it. It hasn't ran the last couple of days because it hasn't been that warm. You know, it's been in the mid-70s, but I opened the windows in the house, and with the breeze coming through, it's been nice and cool. Heck, today I woke up and thought I should turn the furnace on because I was freezing.
Well, it depends on what room you're in that house.
Yeah. Because when I got up this morning, it was 42 degrees out.
That's how it's been when I've been waking up.
And the bedroom windows were open.
Blame an idiot.
So, I actually left the bedroom windows open. So when I got up, it was chilly. I'm thinking, it'll be all right. So I left them open. Figured, it's going to get warmer today. So I came downstairs and opened, you know, went and got the paper and fed the cats. And I tried, I'll open the door window downstairs. I'm sitting upstairs later. I'm thinking, man, it's cold in here. And there was a breeze coming through, coming all the way from the office up through. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go shut windows. Because it never got, it got about, I think 58 was the high for today. And I was like, yeah. I'm good. But. And I was telling Greg, I said, I don't even know what to talk about tonight on the radio show. I said, I have no clue. So I figured, well, with the blue going on, it was a perfect conversation. Or a topic, I should say. And then I was going to do Facebook Live, and I was like, nah, I don't even feel like doing that tonight. It was just one of those days.
Sometimes it's just enough.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I don't have a problem with the Facebook Live. It's fine.
You need more people to have that. You need more people to have that worth for it to be, I mean, just us not talking to each other. We may as well just video chat each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you have more than two people, it can be a really nice interaction that you can see each other, but if there isn't anybody else on, then it's
right.
Not that I don't.
Yeah, I mean, that last week doing the other, it was good. Don't get me wrong. But it was, it would have been better if I had it figured out the way to where it actually went to
right.
the Redneck Nice Facebook.
That just takes time. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm still learning. And then I decided, you know what? I've been cleaning all day. I don't even want to get on and do the live. That's what I told Greg. I said, I ain't doing anything. So don't do it. I was like, I ain't. So I'm not.
No.
So.
I think I found dinner tonight. I found a Mexican joint.
Oh, maybe they have Long Island iced teas.
And we ain't drinking no tonight.
Out there where we went last weekend for dinner, it's a big, you know, it's a steakhouse, and it has everything. And they had three tiers for the Long Island iced tea. They had the top shelf, you know, middle variety, and then the bottom cheap shelf. Let me tell you, those were some strong Long Islands. I took the first sip, but I was like, whew, all righty then. But they were like, you know, like $14 a glass. But
wow.
it was all top shelf liquor. Greg says, well, he says, if you want a good one, you better pay. You're going to pay for it. And I was like, well, I guess. I said, I'm going back over to the Mexican place because we know those are good there. And they're not $13 a glass.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. So we each had one, and that was enough, let me tell you. Like, yeah, I'm good. No more than that.
We can get Greg on, too.
Yeah, probably. It probably wouldn't have been, that big of an issue, but let me tell you. For the price of them, yeah, one was enough.
Yeah, for that price, yeah.
And they were very strong, so, I mean, you definitely paid for it, and the alcohol was there for it. So.
No one took my parking spot.
I found
my parking spot I was at last week. Or a couple of days ago, anyways.
Huh. I don't know. It's crazy. I'm looking through different emails that I get when it comes to different things with the there it is. Stuff with trucking. And there's one that I just came across and I tell you what, I don't know about you guys, but my allergies have been killing me today. Drug and alcohol violations lead to a Pennsylvania driver being shut down. I was reading through this, and I'm thinking, seriously? I mean, it says that he was an imminent hazard. And he got it, this Burt got served with a federal order on May 13th. This is according to the FMCSA on May 18th, 2020, Burt submitted a pre-employment controlled substance test while seeking employment with Lent Crap Capping Incorporated. On May 29th of 2020, the medical review officer notified Burke that his test results had been verified as positive for marijuana and that he was prohibited from operating a commercial motor vehicle. Burke was also referred to a substance abuse professional for evaluation, education, and treatment pursuant. You know, and it says he ignored the probation of his operation of a CMVs and then a requirement to undergo the SAP evaluation and instead continued to drive in interstate commerce.
On one of these trips, he was placed out of service for possession of alcohol or operating a CMV. On another trip, he was placed out of service for possession of marijuana after a single vehicle crash. Like, how stupid
And how do you still have a job?
Exactly.
How does he still have a license?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that too.
You know, and
that
it says,
too.
And failure to comply with the revisions of the federal intermittent hazard order may result in a civil penalties up to $2,000. Knowing and or willful violations may be result in criminal penalties. I'm thinking, really? He should have had his license revoked. He should have been put in jail. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And I've seen it. We've all seen it at the truck stop. You get the guys that's over there. I mean, we had a buddy that used to do it. We all knew it. Every time you'd stop for the night, he'd go and get a 6-pack or a 12-pack of beer, and it'd be gone by the next morning. And he'd be up.
What is it, 8 hours throttle to throttle?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's crazy how, you know, this goes on, and sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't. But 9 times out of 10, there's a lot of people that do this, that are smoking marijuana. Or, you know, now with the fact that you can get the CMV or the...
Well, there's a lot of states that that's legal in. So if you're home and they do it, they're not technically high when they come back to work in 2 days or whatever, but it stays in your system. So it's a catch-22.
Yeah, but it might be legal in your state. Like with you out in Colorado, it's legal
but
in
it's
Colorado.
Right.
But it's not,
but it's
legal,
not legal
for a driver.
For my job.
Exactly. And that's where, you know, it's getting a lot of people that they're getting upset about. They're complaining and say, well, it's legal for me at work or to do it at home.
Well, if they decriminalize it, they've got to come up with a test to test you. To see how long it's been in your system, you know,
right.
Then they can test it more like alcohol because it's out there. I mean, if you think it's not, you're just blind or you're choosing not to see it because it's out there.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Always has been.
Yeah, you know? And it's not going away. I mean, back in the day, how many drivers used, you know, a lot of the...
Any kind of substance to
exactly.
get down the road or whatever.
Yep.
I mean.
And they were still being drug tested then, but there was some of that stuff that they weren't testing for because it hadn't been
out
as long.
It wasn't the programs that there are today.
Right.
I mean, I didn't get drug tested when I got my CDL in the beginning. Like, that wasn't even a thing.
Yeah.
Drug testing wasn't a thing back in the day.
No, and it's crazy because it has become one of those things that you have to get more and more of and get a little bit deeper into it with it because of the fact, you know, there's a lot of times that people don't even realize just how much
right.
is actually going on. I mean, they do a pre-employment. If you're changing jobs and you're going to be tested, you're not going to do anything. Or you're going to go over to, you know, GNC and get something to flush your system out in order to go
well,
and get a good test.
Right, and that's why they did that clearinghouse.
Yeah.
So that these people that do come up positive, they have some type of record of it. You know.
Yeah, because they had nothing to follow that before with.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you could job hop, and it wouldn't follow you.
Exactly.
You know, if you failed a drug test for one company, you could go, because they didn't have to, back in the day, they didn't have to report it. Now with the drug clearinghouse, they have to report it.
Yep.
So
okay, we have another caller. We're gonna bring him on too. Here we go. Hello, Ed. How are you, Ed? I know. I seen that hand go up. Okay, Ed's hand's up, but he's not talking to us. We lost him.
I guess that was it. You know, put the hand up and say bye. That may have been it. I don't know. So, but anyways, but yeah, I mean, guy I used to date, he used to get, you know, periodically drug tested, you know, because he ran a crane. And his big thing was the fact he would go over, because he smoked weed all the time. But he'd always go over to the GNC and get one of the kits to flush his system out so when he would have to go and take the test, because they got to the point where they were testing the employees like every 3 months, you know, a random test. So you never knew who was going to get it, but you always knew every 3 months they were testing you. So he would always...
Every quarter.
Yeah. So, because they had to have so many, and they didn't have that many people that worked there, but still.
And you have to do like 50% of your workforce or something.
Yeah. And my dad was Kaplan, because they go out of the terminals with how many at each terminal. Well, my dad's terminal, there's only like 3 drivers down there. So my dad seems to be getting, you know, picked for a random all the time. And it's always about the same time every year. Because he pulled out it was funny because we were down there and they called him about it. He says, how can it be random? He says, I'm looking at my sheet from last year, and it was basically the same time last year that he got pulled for it.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, I was like, hey.
Well, it's every quarter. They have to do so many.
Yeah. All right. We're going to bring Ed back on again
now.
Here. Right? All right. Here we go. Let's see if he loses service again this time.
Hey, you know what? The damn Wi-Fi kicked me off.
Huh. I was like,
dude, these phones, I tell you what,
Are you there, Ed?
He
dropped it again.
It was like, I thought maybe he was trying to think of what to say and... Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of funny.
I was going to ask him, how does it feel to be a caller, not the host?
I know, right?
But I can't ask him that because you can't keep a call long enough.
Yeah, because I don't know. He must have, because he should still be at home because it's only 7 o'clock down there. He doesn't go to work until he has to be at work, I think, at 8 or 8:30.
I'm in Texas, and mine works just fine.
Yeah.
I'm probably a lot closer to him right now than you guys are.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm in a small town.
I think I'm going to have to get my coat. It's cold down here in the office. Oh, we lost him again.
Wah.
I know, right?
100 degrees down here.
Well, my office
I take some of that cool.
My office is always cold. I actually shut, because I have a vent right over top of my desk. I actually shut the AC or the vent off because I was sitting down here the other day. My teeth were chattering.
I don't even like air conditioning.
Oh.
I mean, I'll use it occasionally, but I'm not big on it. If it's cool enough where there's a breeze and it's in the 60s, I'm good. I'll shut the
Well, yeah, that's
off.
Here too, you know. I don't... Because it's set to come on, so if it, you know, gets to the point where I need it, then it'll kick on.
It's got to be really hot.
Yeah. When we first bought this house, it was completely covered in trees all the way around it. And you couldn't see the house through the trees. Well, Donna kept telling me, oh, you guys won't need AC. Just turn the she called it the suck fan, the exhaust fan in the attic. Just turn it on and open
Ours are called swamp coolers.
Oh, there you go. Well, she said, just, you know, put something up there and open the attic door just a little bit so it'll pull it all through. It'll pull it from the basement all the way up. Well, let me tell you. We did that the first month or two. Well, about not even that. Because as soon as we started cutting trees down, it was after Donna moved it. Because we moved in here in... end of October, 1st of November of 19. And when we moved in, it was nice and cool. We were taking trees down. Well, Greg's dad moved in with us, you know, shortly after we moved in. And then Donna ended up moving in with us the following year in April of 20. Well, by, the 1st of June, I was getting a central air unit put in because even Donna was complaining that it was too hot in here. She's like, it was never this hot in this house before. And I was like, Donna, it was covered with trees. There's no trees around here no more. Because we had knocked them all down and had them cut and, you know. So now it gets full sun all day long. So it is always warm here. So,
you just wanted to mow grass more.
I know, right? It definitely gave me more to mow. But it's okay. I'm dealing with it. I still have the backyard to mow because by the time I got done yesterday, it was, you know, 6:15, and I was like, crap. I couldn't figure out why I was getting sick to my stomach, and then I got to thinking about it. I'm like, well, you know what? I haven't eaten since about 7 o'clock this morning, so that might be why. So, and I figured today I'd go out and finish up because it wasn't supposed to rain here until this evening. Well, it kind of tricked me. It started raining this morning. So then I didn't get the rest of the grass cut or the weed eating done. So hopefully it holds off enough tomorrow that I can get out there and at least get the backyard cut and then do the weed eating later. I can weed eat in the rain. It's not too bad. But trying to push mow the backyard in the rain, no thank you.
That might be a little tough.
Yeah. Especially when some of that grass back there is pretty thick in spots.
Yeah, I remember watching you mow.
Yeah, you and Donnie both sat there and watched me mow.
It was actually kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. I bet it was. Oh, Lord. I tell you, my allergies this year has been driving me crazy. I don't know what it is, most everything around here is pretty much bloomed already or, you know, it must just be, it's got to be just all the pollen right now because my eyes are still itchy and crazy from yesterday. And I take Zyrtec every day and my doctor told me to start using Flonase, which is, it kind of boosts the allergy pill. It works. When I'm out mowing grass now, I'm not out there constantly sneezing the whole time. You know, even with my allergy pill, I would still start sneezing out there when I was cutting grass. So using the Flonase really helps, but yesterday, I don't know if it was just because of the dust, you know, up in the garden and that, or what. I don't know. My eyes are still killing me. But on a better note, at least our whole neighborhood don't smell like cow crap no more.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's always a country smell.
I know, especially in the city.
Right.
I think you can put manure on your garden.
Yeah, we did last Friday, and it was pretty wet, and then, of course, it started storming in the midst of it. So we've been turning it over every time it's dry, trying to dry it out. And when I was turning it over yesterday, it wasn't real bad, and I asked the neighbor when she walked over, I says, I'm hoping that cow manure didn't, you know, bother you. She's like, what cow manure? I was like, well, we put cow manure on the garden. I didn't know if that was why you were down here thinking it was bothering you. She's like, oh, no. She's like, I never even smelled it. I was like, huh, well, that's a good thing. Because it was pretty strong there for a while. And even Steve next door, he's like, yeah, he said it was a good sinus opening something or other, he said. And I thought, yeah, that's about right. So, hey, look, it looks like Jeff was on, too. He was listening. He fell off. Nobody wants to talk to him. That's all right. Oh, Lord.
Some of us are here.
Yeah, that's all that matters.
Yeah, kind of.
I don't know. Sometimes I wonder with the radio show, I mean, I know it's a good thing to have because we can get a lot of things out and talk about a lot of different things, but sometimes it's like, it's a lot. If you don't have a good topic to keep you going or good, you know, just like with Ed on Sunday night, he shut down early because he had no callers.
Right.
You know, and I can
understand. I'm still doing Sunday night.
I was visiting a friend that lives up in Seattle, so I didn't.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. And I have noticed a lot of the nights on, you know, weeknights, I don't know if that's been doing better, but it's not really that I'm noticing on, because I can go on the stats on the Blog Talk Radio thing here, and it tells me exactly how many people's called in at different episodes, or not called in, I take that back, that have actually, you know, went on and listened to the podcast portion of it. And let's see. Last Wednesday we had four people that has listened to it. Then this is just the women. The week before we had two. And the week prior to that. So we've been pretty steady between two and four people that's listened to the podcast portion. And then Ed's, right. You know, you've had anywhere between, you know, right around four, but on some of these, you know, these weekly shows that he's been doing, he's had absolutely nobody that's come on and listened. I don't know how many callers he's getting during that, or, you know, without coming on and listening or pulling it up at the same time, I couldn't tell you. But I'm hoping to get definitely more people to start setting up and doing shows.
Right.
Because I know Chris and Jessica.
I know Greg was on last night. There was actually callers last night. I was listening last night, and Greg, when I popped on, there was like 20 minutes left. And,
yeah.
Greg was on an irate deal, so I was like, no, I'm letting this go tonight. I ain't getting a part of this.
he told me he was on last night, so. And I was like, I forget about it during the week because I'll be busy, you know, doing something. And I've actually been kind of, you know, thinking of doing the Wednesday night shows instead of doing a two-hour show, doing, you know, like 1 week a two-hour, the next week an hour, just kind of break it up a little bit, especially if we have a good topic to talk about and, you know, do it that way. So sometimes 2 hours,
The topic of the week would be the Blitz, but I haven't seen much going on with it. And I haven't seen much on Facebook
either. Yeah, and that's what anybody I've talked to on Facebook or anything, they really haven't seen nothing, you know. And usually there's always, when there's a bunch of them, there's always people talking about, you know, the Blitz that's going on or, you know, DOT here or there. And, yeah, really haven't seen a lot of any of them.
I haven't been on Facebook in weeks. I can't even get on my Facebook right now. I've been hacked.
Oh.
And this is the first time I've been sitting long enough to actually look at it, try and figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Maybe by tomorrow.
And there's been a lot of people that's, you know, has had that happen. And it's all through usually messaging is how they do it.
Yeah. I've just gotten some really strange messages the last 24 hours.
Yeah, I can understand that.
But I've been driving, so it's not like I can just stop and fix it. Like, I can't do it and drive. It's not happening.
You just got to be talented.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, well, I mean, talented. We just had Bernie, in fact. Just wrecked his truck yesterday.
Nuh-uh. Is he okay?
Yep. He's all right. Well, he hit a deer Sunday night. Just got back from vacation. First run out. He hit a deer Wednesday. So Sunday or Monday, he hit a deer. And then the following day, he was following a box truck, and the box truck dipped out of traffic into the right lane, and boom, there was a truck right there. He tried to go left and didn't make it.
Wow.
I'm like, well, so he's trying to get back to Denver now with, I guess, a rental. I'm like, yeah, So I wouldn't want to be a fly on the wall when he gets back.
No.
He's our driver liaison. I'm like, dude.
Wow.
You're supposed to be setting the example, not making your history here.
Yeah.
No, he's not all right.
Supposed to make bonehead truckers.
Right. You're supposed to be setting an example. What the hell? Yeah, so he's dealing with that. I'm like, great, I get a pass. Because I sent a message into safety that I passed my level one. I was like,
right.
Yeah, I got a sticker, woohoo. And then the next message that comes back is, you know, we just had another rear-end collision, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, really? Because I don't get inspected often. So
right.
I was like, all right, cool, we're helping our numbers, you know. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
Well, that is pushing numbers back to the bottom.
Just got thrown out the window.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, gee. Well, try to do good and you just get knocked right down.
Yeah, I was, here I am, because I'm always looking for something online, you know, to talk about. And I just found, and it was talking about diesel prices, okay? Diesel prices dropped by a penny per gallon. Spot rates continue to slide. So they're saying it's slowly coming down in a gist of it. Mm. You know, a 4 cents drop. Okay, according to EIA, diesel national average dropped by 1 cent to 561 per gallon. The decrease was spurred by a 4 cent drop in prices in the Midwest, a 4.4 cent decrease in Gulf Coast region, and 0.9 of a cent decrease in the West Coast, less California region. And then it goes on to, you know, showing how it's, they got a graph and everything else. And New England states prices increased by 9.2 cents. And it says Central Atlantic fuel prices are $6.36 a gallon. Lower Atlantic is $5.61 a gallon. Rocky Mountain is $5.47 a gallon. And West Coast, less California, is $5.62. New England states.
They got their numbers wrong. Because I've been in Oregon and Washington. Man, Washington is outrageous. It's almost as bad as California.
Well, yeah. This is all an average over all of them. So it's not exactly what every pump is going to show. So it's just kind of an average of it. But it says that ProMiles numbers during the week ending May 16th saw fuel prices increase by 5.8 cents, bringing it its national average to $5.49 a gallon. But then it goes on, you know, talking about the fuel surcharge, you know, the different prices. And then it goes into also talking about the spot market rates continue to slide. Line haul per mile, flatbed versus dry van spot rates, excluding the fuel surcharge through most recent week, that's the byline of it. It says dry van per mile line haul rates continued down last week, according to analysis by DAT, Freight and Analysis, excluding the average fuel surcharge. That makes 17 straight weeks since the beginning of February that van rates average have tumbled. The picture was similar to in reefer and spot flatbed rates dipped by a small amount, furthering softening trends for that generally more resilient segment on the spot market. But it's shown it is down, you know, flatbed freight, about 260, 100, or a mile. I'm not even sure how they're actually setting this by. And then the dry van is under $2. And that kind of stands to reason because January through March, the price, everything was up, you know, was really close in line with everything, you know. And I would have thought, you know, September through December that dry van freight would have been paying more because of the holidays. But it's showing here, because this is from September of last year to May of this year. It's like, wow. And that would explain, you know, why so many people right now in the dry van, you know, areas are complaining that the pricing is so bad. But then again, you also get the cheaper freight, you know, like the stuff that Greg's been doing, the pay sheet that, you know, some of his loads for, wait a minute, I can actually tell you because I have it here. One of his loads last week, okay, was from Chesapeake, Virginia to Berea, Kentucky, was 764 miles, and that load was $2,200. Now, the company he's driving for or that he's pulling for right now pays 88%, but still, you know, where's my calculator? I'm a numbers person, so I like to be able to see everything. Oh, crap. I hit the wrong button. That's $2.88 a mile for 764 miles. I mean, it's not that
much?
Bad. 764 miles at $2.88 a mile. Because that load, that was the highest paying load he did last week was $2,200. And it's, I don't know. Like I told him, I says he got spoiled with his other stuff that he did, so we all know that. But it's still kind of crazy.
He gets spoiled.
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows, anybody that's ever, if you've been in the business long enough, you know, expedited does pay a lot more. But it's like, whew. And it's like you look at the paychecks now, it's like, what the hell? But we really think that, you know, just like with them, it wasn't for the fact that Greg wouldn't work, because Greg didn't have a problem working. And it wasn't so much for the fact that they sent out a newsletter telling you whether you were an owner or operator or what, because that's all they had, telling you when you can and can't go home, and, you know, don't take any more than a couple days off after being out for 2 weeks, and make sure you schedule all your maintenance during your time off. And it's like, seriously? You're telling somebody who owns their own truck that when they can and can't take off? Yeah, like that's going to happen. You can do that
right.
With a company truck or anything like that, but you can't do that with owner-operators. That's the quickest way to get them to quit. But that wasn't even – I can't even say that was the reason why Greg left the company he was with. It was more for the fact that it got to the point that they weren't – they said they had no freight, okay, which is a very good possibility because with them doing mostly automotive and stuff like that, that's a good thing that it's probably – you know, was the actual aspect of it. But with that also, they were pushing more towards, and Robbie can vouch for it, more towards wanting team drivers. So they had a few solos.
Yeah, they've called me, just this year, they've called me twice.
Yeah.
They wanted me to team. I go, I'm not teaming. And I think they called Donnie once.
Yeah.
Let me know when a solo position pull comes up because I am not teaming.
Right.
Which
so
as them running a company, running a business, yeah, a team truck is, yeah, it's more efficient than a solo driver. Because now the truck stopped for 10 hours or 11 hours, whatever it may be, 15 hours in between loads, whatever.
Right.
But if you can schedule a team truck and keep that truck's never stopping. It might stop for an hour.
Uh-huh.
To switch out drivers, maybe grab some showers or whatever, grab dinner. But that truck, or less. That might truck my own be stopped for a half hour and get fuel and swap out drivers.
Right. So that was, you know, kind of the reason we think why he wasn't being loaded was the fact that they were just trying to get rid of all the solo drivers. They didn't have very many solo drivers anyways, but still, you know. It's
yeah,
kind of hard to...
possibility that they were trying to just rather be team drivers, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they just put the company to the team drivers, and that's it.
Right, and they couldn't exactly fire a driver without just cause.
So what better way to do that than to just actually not load them and just tell them, well, you know, we don't have no freight. We're just really slow, this and that. And I mean, you can tell it, like us here being as close to the interstate that we are, like up at my dad's, usually when the trucks come down and the dip down on 7 right, or 11, you can hear the jakes. You don't even hear that many trucks over there anymore. Not like there usually is. Because this being mostly steel, you usually hear a lot of trucks. Haven't been hearing that many trucks. I know.
Not a whole lot of guys. You know, I've noticed that too with truck stops, just truck stops in general. They're a lot fuller right now. Because there's a lot of guys that are not going to move for a junk rate.
Yeah.
But you want that thing moved? Call me when, here's my rate. Call me when it moved.
And that's the thing. It's
I'll sit at the house.
The freight rate is so bad and the fuel prices are so high, you know, nobody's making any money. It doesn't matter what kind of job you're doing. Because even if you're working at the local store here in town or something, just the price of gas going back and forth to work every day. If you don't have something that gets, you know, pretty good fuel mileage, you know, you're losing money. Because rates, you know, not even rates, but even just a regular pay scale, you know, minimum wage isn't even that high for some places. And then you start adding in the price of everything in the store that you need. It's just, and that's where a lot of the general public doesn't catch on to, is the fact it all comes back to the fuel prices. Whether it be gas or diesel, it all comes back to that. Because if you don't have that at a good price to begin with, everything's going to have to go up in order to cover that. And that's what I tried to explain it to my grandmother the other day. Because her and I were talking, and she's like, oh, I went to the store, and it cost me, you know, the stuff I normally get, it cost me double. And I was like, Grandma, it's because the fuel's so high. Well, what does that have to do with, you know, her loaf of bread or her milk? And I was like, because there's, you know, it takes some of that, you know, fuel to get that stuff to the store. But also when you get the plastics that the bread's in and the milk's in, that comes from basically the same type where the gas and the diesel come from, the same compounds. Well, I don't see where that would make it so high. And I was like, well, it does.
There's a lot of people that don't realize that not everything comes by a truck. And they haven't gotten grasped that concept yet. Then they get mad because it's so high.
Yeah, they know it does. But they don't think about how much the fuel price it is and how much it costs to actually operate and run that truck. Because you don't get, you know, like, well, those trucks should get better fuel mileage than, you know, 5 or 6 miles to the gallon or 8 miles to the gallon or whatever. But most trucks on an average, I'm not saying this is every truck, so don't start bashing me for it. But most trucks usually get,
getting 8 miles a gallon. Shit, that would be nice.
Right. But most trucks usually, most on an average, you're looking at between 5 to 7. Mm-hmm. You know, because I have no clue what these newer ones with the regen system does. You know, so all the air.
Point average is about 7. 7.2.
Yeah.
Depends on how heavy
I
am.
Up fuel mileage.
Right.
I picked up fuel mileage for what I did to my truck.
Right. And Greg's is usually, you know, depending on what he's running or where he's at.
Weather plays a big part, too.
Yeah.
He was getting good fuel mileage today because the wind was pushing him.
Right.
So now, like, when I head back into Denver from the East Coast, I'll get about 5.2 through Kansas and Colorado.
Because it'll be a headwind for you the whole way.
But coming out, I'll get 7, 6, 8, 6, 9, 7. Yeah, the weather has a lot to do with it, too.
Yeah.
I averaged 5.5.
Yeah, but look how much weight you got on, too.
Not bad.
Huh. It's just
so you know, Holly, I'm grossing out at 96,000 pounds.
That's really good.
And you know what's funny?
That's crazy.
Robbie, we were grossing out about like that coming from down here in Wellsville to Warren with 60,000-pound coils on.
Wow.
Yeah. Because we were hauling them out from down here, and that was some good, and that was, you know, Kaplan freight back in the day, and I think each one of those coils we hauled was like $1,500 to go 70 miles, 80 miles, I think it was about 80 miles, from Wellsville, which just down this, basically down the road here, to Warren, and we were doing two or three of them a day. They were all permit loads coming right off of the river, you know, at the port, if you want to call it that, shipping up there to the mill. But that's what Greg, when Greg told me about it, because it was before I seen what your scale ticket was, he's like, you know, he says, we were doing that with those coils off the river. And I was like, yeah, because they were anywhere from 58 to 62s. I wouldn't take a 62. Right. My dad would. Not that it paid any more or any less, but I just wouldn't do it.
That for a single coil, that's a big coil.
Oh, it was a big coil. Thankfully, it was black iron, so we didn't have to tarp them. You know, so we tore the kits down because we did those steady for 3 months. And that's when we had still had our old red, what was it, a 93 FLD Freightliner. And Greg had that white track, and that's when it still had the automatic in it. And my dad had his old maroon Freightliner, FLD. So.
Yesterday I was climbing a mountain. I thought I was going to get out and walk faster in my truck.
Yeah, I can believe that. But it's just, it's hard to believe that so much of our economy wraps around the price of fuel products, period. From everything, you know, in the store, out of the store, from the vehicles, and because even the price of cars and trucks and everything, just to go buy a new one or even buy a used one, has escalated severely. And I got a statement the other day that our electric will be going up, you know, per kilowatt.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, really? Our water went up, you know, not because of usage, but because of their fees that they're raising. And which, you know, they got to, again, every company has to offset that cost somewhere. So it always trickles down to the consumers, which makes it, you know, you get ticked off about it. But unfortunately, we know that
everyone's out to try to make a buck, and that's how they're making their buck.
Yep. And we know it's going to happen, and it's going to keep happening, and it's not going to stop until these gas prices get back down, or fuel prices, period, get back down to a more realistic price. Because it's going to come to the point where you're going to see people that's not going to be able to go and actually purchase their food items, or you're going to be seeing people that's buying food and not buying hygiene products because they're too expensive now to buy, or they're saving all their money in order to buy their food for their kids or, you know, whatever. And it's sad to say, but that's exactly what's going to be happening here, you know, probably in the next, I'm going to say within the next year, if that, because it will probably be even sooner the way, you know, the economy is going. Because just like I was telling Greg, and I think I said something last week, when I went to the store last just to get, you know, laundry detergent and stuff like that, it was stupid high. The price where I was paying six something was up to nine something. It's like, this is just crazy. My poor cats, they're all on a diet. I'm going to put them all on a diet because, you know, their cat food price is going up. The dog food price is going up.
Oh, my dog food is expensive as all get out. Damn
well,
dogs.
Ours is, yeah, we, I don't do too bad with the dog food. I think it's like $30 a bag. But a bag of dog food, which it's a 25-pound bag of dog food, I think, it usually lasts our dogs about a month.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But, I mean, we have all little dogs. And I give them about 2 cups of food a day.
Right.
And I feed them, it's called corn. I get it through Chewy. But it has
right.
no fillers in it. It's all no...
Yeah, mine's all natural, too.
And it does good for them. And they'll eat a few pieces here and there, and it fills them up, and they're good. And then the cats, you know.
Right.
I have a herd of cats, so... And I'm actually surprised.
That's a good way to put it, is heard.
Right? I've actually been down here at the desk, and there has not been a single cat walk across this table or this desk this evening.
Fire up that printer.
I know, right?
You don't have a cat.
Down here attacking it.
She has a cat. I can't remember which one it is.
Thumper.
She has a cat that will come. Thumper. Has a cat that fucking box speed it 100 miles an hour all the way down. Waiting for that paper to come shoot.
And it's funny because he can be upstairs in one of the back bedrooms, and the printer and that is all down in the office, and he'll come down 2 flights of steps to get to that printer.
It's funnier. Oh man, it's a good laugh.
Yeah. And it's even worse when he's down here and he'll attack them when they're coming out. But what's even funnier is when he grabs them with his teeth and starts pulling them out, and then I go and pick the papers off the floor, and there's teeth marks in them where he's ripped them out of the printer. The other day I was doing a double-sided page. Well, he did not understand the concept of why it was coming out, and when he went to attack it, it sucked back in. He jumped straight up in the air and backwards and was sitting here looking at the printer. His tail got real puffy, and he's sitting here looking and kind of sidestepping it, looking at both sides. Couldn't figure out why it was doing what it was doing. So, yeah, we have very entertaining animals in this house. Right now, the dogs aren't all entertained. They're all down here sleeping on their beds. So... But there's never a dull moment in my neck of the woods.
Right?
I'm waiting for a cow and some goats and maybe a horse or something like that in the backyard.
Well, I've been trying to push for goats, but I keep getting told no. Oh. I said, fine. Let me get some chickens. And that was a hell no.
I got something on him. I'm like, dude, you know what?
Goats
you
are
know what
so
a good
disgusting.
Hey, don't say that. He might be listening.
Nah, he's not. He's sleeping.
He's sleeping.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good way to say it. A free mower. You don't have to mow the grass anymore.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I told him, I said, I could get a couple little goats, and even Steve down here is like, oh, yeah, they can eat all the brush. And Greg's like, yeah. And they could be standing on the hood of your truck when you come out to go to work. And Steve's like, yeah, no, that's good. We don't need no goats around here then. Because
don't
goats are
to go to your truck where your goats are going to be.
Well, yeah, well, it's hard to keep goats in a fence because they are very mischievous little animals. And they will figure out how to get out.
Not when it's 6 foot tall.
Well, that's true. When I was growing up, we had goats.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah. We had them in an electric fence, and I don't know how these goats figured out how to get out. They would either go under the fence or go over it. But again, we also had a pony, a little Shetland pony, that laid down on her side and took her feet and kind of pulled herself underneath the fence to get out.
Well, you know, if you have a 6 foot high fence and it's about six inches underground too, I could just see a rifle coming out and getting something in the head.
Yeah. No, but I've tried the whole goat thing, and I keep getting turned down. And I've tried the chickens. I was like, well, can we put a little chicken coop up? And, you know, that way we can have fresh eggs. And I was told no. Because in the city, I can have up
fresh
to four
eggs
chickens
so
or five
much
chickens.
Better.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
He does like his eggs.
Yeah, I know, right? That's where we go through a shitload of them. We used to get fresh farm eggs all the time from another friend, and I don't think his chickens are laying anymore, or the weasels are eating them all. I don't know. But, yeah, fresh eggs are always good. But I was told I wasn't allowed to have new chickens either.
Just get a rooster.
Yeah. There's one somewhere not too far off because you hear him every morning. I go out and get the paper about between 5:30 and 6 or 6 and 6:30, whichever I get up. And I always hear the rooster somewhere close by. So it's always interesting. I even tried getting the neighbors on my side about getting chickens. I mean, that way we can always have fresh eggs. And they were all okay with it too. I just can't get Greg convinced. That's all right. I'll have enough to do with the garden this year because the price of vegetables, I'm going to have to be manhandling mine all the time and making sure they grow good. I went and got broccoli at the store the other day for salads. It was like $2.69 a pound. I was like, you got to be kidding me. So
wow.
I went to another store and it was a little bit cheaper. But it's just, whew. I just couldn't get over it. And that was at... I started because I don't like buying. I don't know if you guys have Aldi's out there, out west, I should put it.
Yeah.
Arizona does.
No, there's no.
But
well, we
I don't
might
like
have
them.
An Aldi. I don't remember.
I don't really care for the vegetables from there. It seems like they never last very long when you get them. So I always get my vegetables usually at Giant Eagle because they have a very good selection and they're usually a little bit better. Walmart, of course, is cheaper, but I haven't been buying a lot of stuff at Walmart. Only for, I think, mostly because their prices have gotten so stupid. But I went to Giant Eagle to get my vegetables, and they were actually more expensive there than it was at Aldi's. And I went next door to Aldi's and got all my vegetables, and it was actually, I think when I came out of Aldi's, which is sad to say, I had three or four bags. But anyways, it was like $100 and some. But I got four chicken breasts, which is crazy priced, was like $9.61 for four. And I eat a lot of chicken.
Yeah, chicken has gone sky high. Everything has. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I'm glad that we're not having to buy any meat per se, you know, red meat I should say. But
right.
Even I was getting some. Because Robbie knows, Greg likes his sausage gravy. So I make sausage gravy and biscuits a lot. And I was getting just, you know, 1 pound tubes of bulk sausage, and it was like $2.61 for one. That was up to four something for a pound of sausage. I was like, yeah. This fall.
Gotta buy it now when it's on sale and stockpile it.
Yeah. Well, this fall we'll have a pig in the freezer, so I'm thinking, yep.
That's what I'm thinking about doing, buying a half a cow or something.
Well, we bought that whole steer last August.
They got freezers back in down in Walmart.
Downstairs Walmart. And I'm going to get another stand-up freezer because we have a little chest freezer too, but the stand-up with the pig. We'll have a whole one of that, and it's mostly going to be, you know, of course, a couple hams, and then sausage and bacon and pork chops and, you know, ribs and
bacon.
Whatever else. Yeah.
Bacon.
Yeah, bacon.
Life is better with bacon. I love bacon.
Ain't it? So that's what I told Greg. I said, you know, because my sister's ex, which is my nephew's dad, that's where we got the cow from, basically. And I was buying burger off of him all the time because it was always good. And it was, you know, a dollar and a quarter or something is what he was charging me for it back then. But so we got the steer, and all with everything said and done after butchering and then buying the freezer, we had almost $7,000 in a steer. That was buying it at the fair, then paying to have it processed, the freezer, and it's just like, phew. But the pig is going to be the same issue. I don't know how much it's going to cost for it because Jesse will take it because he's feeding him up to do them. And I told him, I said, just count me in on one because we want one for the fall. So I can only imagine what's going to cost me for it because he gets a pretty good deal. He goes and gets them processed. They'll call and tell us what they want, you know, how we want it processed. Because I bought a half of one off of him a couple years ago. And then I told Greg, I said, we'll just get a whole one off of him this time. Because we went through everything we had before. I'm one, I like pork chops. Greg really doesn't care for them. He'll eat them. But I love pork chops. So I told him, I said, we're going to get that. And then that way we have it in the freezer. And but for the price of everything anymore. And I've actually been doing very well. I haven't restocked anything downstairs, only for the fact I got to use all that stuff before I can start restocking it. But most of my little Walmart, as Robbie likes to call it, it's only because...
Yeah, those beef sticks that I got from you, those are good, and they're gone.
Are they?
I just didn't... Yeah, I only got two boxes from you. And yesterday, I got out a box, and I'm like, man, these are good. I just kept eating them all day. Well,
oh, there you go.
In about 2 hours, the other box came out, and it was gone.
And they're what sticks?
Little beef sticks. Like,
they're
kind of like the Slim Jims.
Great value snack stick made with beef, pork, and chicken.
Okay.
But they were some of that stuff that we had got when we went to the convoy with all that food and paper towels and toilet paper. And
I don't know how much they are. It's a Walmart thing. You got to go to Walmart to get them.
Yeah. But our little collection downstairs started just for the fact, you know, when Donna was here, I couldn't leave her. When Gene was still here, I would leave and go to the store and get what we needed. But after he passed, I wouldn't leave Donna at home because I didn't trust her by herself. So when I did go, I'd have somebody come sit with her for a couple hours and I'd get out of the house and go and do all the shopping that I needed to do. So I was pretty good about stockpiling anything that she liked to eat all the time because she was tomato soup and grilled cheese. I swear we ate that probably four times a week for dinner. And it got to the point where I just couldn't deal with, you know, I mean, I still eat it because I like grilled cheese and tomato soup, but sometimes it's a lot.
Enough.
Yeah. And that's how it
gets,
that's
a lot of cheese.
Yeah, with a lot of things anymore, you know. And with me just here at home by myself most of the time now, just like tonight for dinner, I went and got my air fryer out and threw some popcorn shrimp in the air fryer. I was like, yep, that's my dinner. And I didn't even have a cat trying to eat my shrimp because he don't like the breaded popcorn shrimp. So, but always the fun times in this house.
Daisy on not having to give him a shrimp.
I know. I'm surprised. And that's what really surprised me because he wasn't down here because, of course, by the time I got the shrimp in and got everything set up for this, I come down and I'm thinking, okay, I still have 10, 15 minutes. I can eat some of these. And it's like, oh, no, I don't have 10 or 15 minutes. I'm down to 5 minutes. And so I was trying to eat while doing it. And I figured for sure he'd be down here. Nope. He wasn't here. But he likes his, you know, just regular cooked shrimp and not fried. So
He likes that shrimp cocktail.
Yeah. And he eats that when,
I tell you what, that cat can put some shrimp away. He's the only cat we have that actually likes seafood. But. So, I'm trying to see. Oh. Oh, crud. My computer froze up for a minute for some reason. Oh, let's see. Alrighty then. Okay. There was something else I wanted to talk about, but I can't find it. I hate when I do that. Oh, I don't know. Okay. I guess it wasn't that important about it then.
It didn't sound like it.
No, I guess not. Well, have you guys heard, I mean, it's been a while since we've really talked anything about the People's Convoy. Well, I said something about it a few minutes ago, but they are still at it, traveling back and forth. And they're on their way, I think, to Maryland again, or back to Washington. Now they're headed to they were in Washington County, Maryland on Tuesday. And now they're heading towards the district on Route 70, it says. Oh, they're back to Hagerstown Speedway. Is this the right one? Yeah, this is the current one. I wonder if they're going to get anything accomplished this time around.
I don't know. I don't think they are. I think they've pretty much burnt that up.
Yeah. It's been going on, I mean, a long while. It doesn't seem like, you know, it was really good there for a while. There was a lot of, you know, a lot of people paying attention to it. But it's just to the point now where I think they've beat that drum too many times and nobody's listening.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad because I think what they started out wanting to do was a good idea. But I think now it's just got to the point where it's, you know, like I said, nobody's listening anymore. So... I don't know. Oh, no. Chrissy must have a ball. So. All right, guys, we're down to the last few minutes. I'm actually going to do some of the... Uh-oh. Maybe. There it is. Ooh, talk about our sponsors.
Teaching her how to drive. But Dad, why not use Greenlight to help her save for her upper car? Go alone, get
paid. I hate it when I lose my papers. I have things wrote down so I don't lose the numbers.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
I forgot I don't have to say these now because Ed added everything to the thing, so I don't have to do them now, which is nice.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well,
I'll have to give you a new write-up.
Yeah, he told me, because I told him, I said, you need to add these clips that we had before when we were doing using Taylor's platform. That way it's easier.
Right.
You know, you just hit a button and let it go. You don't have to talk about it. I mean,
right.
You can. But it's just nice you just hit it. And so he's like, well, they're all in my voice. I was like, he says, I'm going to get the people to actually, you know, the ones, whatever they are, talk about it. And
right.
I was like, well, whatever you do is fine. I said, just, it just makes it easier instead of, you know, you can just put everybody on mute.
Yeah, you can use it as a commercial break.
Exactly. You know, because you can actually do them back-to-back, I believe, and just have them go on their cells. It's something, you know, this is just another one of those things I got to get used to using. But like I told him, I says need to put a little bit of music on here too, just, you know, 20, 30 seconds, 40 seconds, whatever, because the LTR one's 27 seconds. What is it? Oh, DPF is, I think, 40 seconds. The web promo is 20 seconds. So it's a little bit, kind of breaks things up a little bit because it does make it nice. That way, you know, you can get up and walk away. But hopefully, like I said, I bring enough stuff down here. Well, a couple bottles of water and I'm good to go for 2 hours. But to have a little bit of music once in a while is okay. To have a ton of music all the time is just plain crazy.
Right. Until next week.
Yeah.
Do we lose Robbie?
No, Robbie's still here.
I'm still
just
here. Just
got to come up with a good topic for next week. I'm going to have to think of something. I may have to pull out the violation book and start, you know, popping with questions on Facebook on, you know, is this a, you know, a real thing that you get violated on, you know, with the FMCSA or not? Because there's a lot of things people don't understand that is a violation, but they're like, no, it's not. Oh, yeah, I don't need to be trying to look at that now because it's clearing the top of my cabinet.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Whoops. My cord for my mic, when I was stretching up looking in the cabinet, it hit the mouse, and the cursor just happened to be over top of that on the thing. I'm thinking, what in the heck is it doing that for? That would be because I had stuff sitting where it shouldn't have been sitting, that's all. So. But yeah, I'm going to have to come up with some good questions for next week.
Right.
And I think tomorrow I'm going to sit and do a couple poll questions on our Facebook page. You know, especially with the breaks and all that stuff this week. For the brake safety,
right.
To see how many people actually, you know, think they know what the answers are.
Do some quizzes or something.
Yeah, because I've noticed on our Facebook page we haven't been as, you know, active on it as we probably should when it comes to some of the educational portion of things that we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely need to start pulling a little bit more of that together, so. And I'm thinking that's what I'm going to start doing is figure some up and just have them post periodically during the week. Because I know Ed's got some stuff
right.
That comes on and posts. And so that's going to be the next thing I'm going to start doing is doing stuff like that in order to
start getting more interaction.
I'll have to start looking for stuff more, different topics.
Yeah.
It's not easy, though.
I know, because every time I try finding something different to talk about online, you know, here with this, it comes right back to it. It's like still come right back to the same stuff. And I know we talked about the speed limiters, and that's what Ed's been, you know, Greg and Ed got into the discussion again about it last night.
Right.
But it seems like that's been a lot of everybody's topic here lately. Well, there's only so much you can say about speed, you know, sensor or speed limiters. It's the same thing over and over and over again. So.
Right.
I don't know about
you. Every show out there is talking about it.
Exactly. So it's to the point where it's the same thing over and over, and I try keeping away with that. And that's the reason every once in a while I break away with something to talk about that I find on one of the many email forums that I get stuff on. So, but I'm going to try coming up with something good for next week to talk about.
All right.
So. All righty. I think we're going to close it down for the night and finish up with the last couple of the clips and be done.
All right. Well, you have
Sounds
a good
night.
Are you being safe, Robbie?
Yep. Talk to you guys later.
All right.
You guys be careful. All right. Both of our callers, Holly and Robbie, just jumped off of the radio with us tonight. We're down to the last few minutes. I just want to tell everybody that is either A, listening to us via our podcast. Thank you. Make sure you guys listen to us every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern on Redneck and Eyes Radio, courteous of Blog Talk Radio. We are here Wednesday with the Women of Redneck and Eyes. We are here Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday with just our plain old Redneck and Eyes Radio. We do want to take this moment to thank all of our sponsors, DPF Regeneration out of – oh, lost my paper again. Here we go. Out of Stratford, Connecticut. Phone number to call them and get some work done is 203-549-8606. And we also want to thank Trucker Tools, where they are our load boards. And you can find them at Trucker Tools app. You can download that on Google Play Store or Apple.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.
So, this brings us to a close tonight on Redneck and Eyes Radio. You guys take it easy out there, be safe, and we look forward to talking to you again next week. Same time. Same channel, same crazy truckers. Y'all have a good night now. You hear?